Would you join me in praying? Father God, I thank you for the privilege to come today and open your word. My prayer now is as we open the word of God that you will speak to us, that you'll remind us of all the questions that we have. There's truth here to be found. That we do not have to be afraid of the word of God, but we can know that you have great wisdom and truth for life. Transformation to be found by the power of the Holy Spirit through the word of God. And that is our prayer and desire. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you have your Bible, I'm going to ask you to turn to James chapter 5. While you're turning, I will tell you that we are towards the end of our series, Frequently Asked Questions. We have one more week after this week, and I realize that a number of the questions that have been asked, we've not been able to cover yet. We'll do that again next year. You'll have to wait a little while, but we will do it again at some point. We will have opportunity to move through Frequently Asked Questions again. But countless times over the past 28 years of ministry, I have listened to devastated people ask me the same question over and over again. And that is, it's this question: why is God not answering my prayers? Why is God not answering my prayer? Prayers for healing from disease, prayers for healing from emotional pain, prayer for deliverance from a problem, for the salvation of a loved one, for the healing of a relationship, for financial needs, for prodigal children, for direction for life, for answers to questions, and on and on. And I have to tell you, if you have prayed very much at all over your life, you have surely faced this question at some point. Often the question is put another way, and that is this: if my prayers go unanswered, does that mean I didn't have enough faith? Does that mean that I lack enough faith? Well, I have to tell you, if you watch TV long enough, eventually you're going to hear some preacher or teacher tell you that with enough faith, God will bring healing, wealth, or prosperity to you. You're going to hear that. That's an incredible thought, if only it were true. Often the proof text for that thought comes from James chapter 5, verse 15, but we're going to start in context with verse 13. So James chapter 5, beginning in verse 13, it says this: is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power at its working. Now listen, those are powerful words. If you have not read those words in a while, it's an amazing truth here that it tells us about this prayer. And it says, and the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. Now that seems pretty black and white to me. Does it to you? You pray with a sincere and complete faith, and God will heal that person. God will answer the request. God will give you what you want. But there are multiple problems with that thought. So before I unpack them, let me state two things clearly, because I don't want to confuse anybody about my beliefs and thoughts about prayer. Here we go. Number one, prayer matters. Amen? Prayer matters. Jesus told us to pray. Jesus modeled how to pray. There is an abundance, a lot of scripture concerning our need and our calling to pray. Prayer does matter. It's important that we pray. The second truth that I want to make sure I clear up before I really dive into this is this: God is still in the healing business. Amen? Do you believe that? That's pretty weak. God is still in the healing business. He is. God does. Miracles still happen. People still get saved. Listen, if you don't think that's the greatest miracle of all. But miracles do happen. Prayer requests do get answered. We have seen people healed right here in our own faith family. I believe this: God is able to do anything he wants, anytime he wants, with anybody he wants. I believe that God can do anything he wants, anytime he wants, with anybody he wants. Why? Because he is God. But friends, I am not. I'll help you. I know people, I hate to do this because I know when a preacher makes me repeat something, I always think, oh my goodness, but I'm gonna ask you to repeat something with me, okay? So repeat this with me. There is a God, and I am not him. Now look at the person next to you, say, there is a God, and you are not him. Okay, all right, everybody feel good about that? So you didn't have to poke them so hard when you said it, but whatever, okay? So it's important that we understand that. We are not God. There is no heavenly vending machine where you pop in a prayer request and that pops up, out pops what you want. That is not the way it works. That would make God subject to us. So what does this verse mean? And why does my sincere, faithful prayers not always get the answer I desire? Well, let's unpack this passage in James really quick. First of all, it says in verse 15 about the prayer of faith. What is the prayer of faith mentioned there? What is the prayer of faith? Well, the answer comes from verse 14. Look at verse 14. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Quite simply, it is the prayer of the elders offered in the name of the Lord. The key phrase for the prayer of faith is in the name of the Lord. Many of us pray with this form every single day. Let me ask you, when you pray, what is the last four words of your prayer most of the time? How do you end your prayers? In Jesus' name, amen, right? Sadly, for many of us, this has just become the ending to our prayer. It's sort of like saying, Roger, over and out. Amen. How about this? Edward R. Murrow used to end his broadcast, good night and good luck. Now, I'm not old enough to remember that, but some of you are. I do remember this when Walter Cronkite would end his broadcast with this, and that's the way it is. Listen, it's like a little slogan to end. So it'd be like you praying, Father, I pray for help, I pray for wisdom, I pray for my family, I thank you for food to eat. And that's the way it is, amen. We wouldn't do that. But that's what, in Jesus' name, amen, has become for many of us. It's the way we sign off, it's how we stop. It's like, I love you, bye, on the phone with someone. It has become that. In Jesus' name, amen, is supposed to carry a heavy value. It's designed to basically say, it is as if Jesus himself were gonna pray these words. It's as if Jesus did pray these words, amen. Now, I don't know about you, but when I back up and think about it that way, I have to take it a little more serious. I have to stop and evaluate what I really prayed. Because there have been times I've prayed for things, and then if I were to say, okay, now it's as if Jesus himself prayed that, I'd have to back up and change some of my prayers. Because I'm not so sure Jesus would have prayed sometimes for the things that I pray for. 1 John 5:14 says this, and this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Listen, according to his will. That is the most important part of the verse. Ask anything you want according to his will, and he hears us. I would need to change some of my prayers, I am quite sure, if I want to make sure I'm praying according to his will. Simply put, if you are praying in the name of the Lord, in Jesus' name, amen, amen, that means you are praying for God's will, for God's plan, and for God's pleasure. That's important. If we're praying in Jesus' name, amen, and we're sincere, and it's not just routine something we say, it is as if we are ending our prayer saying, God, this is for your will, for your plan, for your pleasure. I want what you want. Now, that's important to understand when you're thinking about the prayer of faith. It has to be done in the name of the Lord. Secondly, I would say this. It's also important, because this is important, to know the meaning of the word sick in the word James chapter 5. So I want us to look together. There are three questions asked in the first two verses of this passage, and they all three point to some form of prayer. Is there someone among you suffering, he says? Let him pray. Is there someone among you cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is there anyone among you sick? This word sick in verse 14, I love the Greek language, and we don't talk about it a lot, but the original language of the text here is so much more colorful than our English language. Our English language is not near as colorful as Greek is, and the Greek word for sick here in verse 14 is asthenai, and the word asthenai literally means to be weak. So it says, if anyone among you is sick, it literally means to be weak. It's used in the book of Acts. It's used in Romans. It's used in 1 Corinthians. And in your translation, it will always say weak faith or weak conscience in those places. The same word. It is also used to mean physically sick. It means both. But please understand, it's not just physical sickness. It is so much more than just physical sickness. The Greek word then in verse 15, where your Bible translated as sick, is a different word. It is not the same word. We use sick twice, but in verse 15, it's komnanta. And that word means to be weary. And so when you read it this way, you stop and use that word only one other place in all of the New Testament. And that's Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3, and it's translated as weary. Now, why do I tell you about that? Why is that important? Well, one, it helps it to make sense then when right after that, when he says, if you are sick, if you are weak, when you're a sick person, if you're weary, he goes on to say God will heal you, but he also says that he will raise him up and forgive his sins. It was more than just something physical. It might have been physical, but it was much more than that. It was emotional. It was spiritual. It was whole. It was the need for Jesus, and it was the need for a believer to be raised up as well. I believe this also helps us to realize that our top priorities a lot of times for us is our physical bodies. But I got to be honest with you, I don't think that God's top priority is our physical bodies. The only eternal aspect that God created necessarily is our souls. Now, our bodies will be resurrected and made new and changed, but the current state of your body is deteriorating. Can I get an amen? Oh my, I mean, that your body as it is right now is deteriorating. It is at some point, that is the case. If you've reached the halfway point, some of us, listen, would have to say, I'm getting close to the jumping off point. Whatever language you might use, please understand that your body is deteriorating. And so that will make a change. That part, this earthly part of your body, is not eternal. God will give us a new, he will take our bodies, give us a new glorified body. But what is eternal is our soul. But the correct way to say it, I believe, comes from C.S. Lewis. I love his quote. He says this, you do not have a soul. You have a body. You are a soul. Let me say it again. You don't have a soul. You have a body. You are a soul. Now, that's different. The body is going to leave us at some point, but the soul, that's who you are. That's the essence of who you are. So there are many reasons, though, that when we pray and we pray for physical healing, that God sometimes answers yes and he sometimes answers no. And it would be way beyond our understanding to understand all of those. But I want to give you a few reasons that our prayers in general, not about physical healing, but just prayers in general, get answered or go ignored or give us a straight out no. Here are a few reasons. I'm going to move quickly. Some of the times our prayers are not answered with a yes, or it would seem as if God is silent because of these reasons. First of all, we pray for selfish reasons. James 4:3 says, you ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. Some of our prayers go unanswered because we pray for selfish reasons. Second, we pray sometimes while engrossed in sin. I have. Have you ever prayed while engrossed in sin? Psalm 66:18 says, if I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. Sometimes our prayers go unanswered because we pray when we're neglecting God's word. I've done that. I've prayed for God to help me when I was neglecting his word. Have you? Proverbs 28:9 says, if one turns away from hearing the law, even his prayers is an abomination. Sometimes we pray with no faith. That's the real topic of today. James 1:6-7 says, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. But the problem is, if we stop right there and we think it's all about faith, then if you don't get the answer you want, you think, I just got to have more faith. Well, what about the Bible verse that says, all you need is the faith of a mustard seed? That's all you need. You see, the colorful, you have to put all of God's word together to begin to get an understanding. Sometimes we don't get our prayers answered because we pray with an unforgiving spirit. Matthew chapter 5 tells us that. Listen, this one will shock some people, but it's here and it's important that you hear it. Sometimes our prayers go unanswered because we are not honoring our spouse. Now you say, Chris, where do you get that from? 1 Peter 3:7 says this, husbands, it's already taught to the wives about their relationship with the man. And it says here, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life so that nothing will hinder your prayers. There's some men in this room not getting their prayers answered because you're not honoring and respecting your wife. There's some ladies in this room who may be struggling to feel like they're connecting with the Lord because you're not connecting with your spouse. Now that seems heavy and deep, but it's a simple truth from God's word. Our relationship with our spouse is designed to show the relationship of Jesus and his bride, the church. So we must understand that there's a complete link between your relationship with your spouse and your relationship with your father. And that we must understand that God desires that by his grace, we can have the right relationship with our spouse. If you're struggling in that area and you're wanting to know why some of your prayers aren't answered, you need to begin to think differently about how you treat, respect, and love your spouse. God can use that. I'm telling you, it's the truth from his word. But I think one of the most common reasons we get a no from God is simply this. We pray out of his will. Friends, I want to say this to you. God receives glory in our strength, but God also receives glory in our weaknesses. He does. So sometimes he allows those to stay. God receives glory in our healing. It's a beautiful thing. But friends, God can also receive glory in our suffering, and so he allows it. God makes us more like him when he delivers us, but he also makes us more like him when he allows us to walk in affliction. He does. We can see all of that in our walk with God. As I began to think through and look for resources and commentaries about how to answer that question of people who think, I just don't have enough faith, so that's why God's deserting me, which is just not scriptural in what we see here. We have to understand that God is God and that we ask him to move and we pray according to his name and according to his will, but he ultimately will be the one to make the decision. And there will be times he chooses to bring healing on this earth, but please know, anytime God brings healing on this earth, and some of you have experienced it, let me go ahead and be honest with you, it's temporary. God temporarily heals your body on this earth. It's never forever. Every person, if you were to take your Bible and open to Matthew, and you were to begin to look in the gospel at all the people that Jesus healed, hundreds of people, what we would allude to be thousands of people that Jesus healed, people that came and touched his robe, people that touched his hand, people that touched the saliva from his mouth, people that he just passed by and spoke to them, people that were in other towns and he spoke to them and they were healed, people that he breathed on and they were healed over and over and over again. Every one of those he physically healed, it was temporary. They all died. Every last one of them. So it's important that we don't get caught up in God must not love me and I must not have enough faith if I can't be healed of this one temporary thing going on in my life. When the reality is, God says, you have a body, but you are a soul. And I'm telling you, I'm at a greater work. I'm bringing ultimate healing in your life. Now, I'm not telling you quit praying for healing. Pray for it. Do. Pray for that. But at the same time, ultimately pray the ultimate prayer. God, your will be done. It's as if Jesus himself were praying this prayer. Amen. Let it be his decision. And truthfully, he will do that according to his good pleasure, his good will, his good character. As I was preparing for this, I ran across a video. And I think our very first week of Frequently Asked Questions, I showed you a video of Dr. Ravi Zacharias. Well, today I want to show you a very quick video of someone else who is very well known in our nation and around the world. and her name is Joni Erickson Tada. Many of you will know that name. You've read her books. You've looked at her information. You've maybe heard her speak before. But the reality is, what I saw in a little short video when someone asked her in an interview format, what if I don't, if God doesn't answer my prayer, does that mean I don't have enough faith? Her answer was much better than anyone I could ever give you. And so we're going to watch it together for just a moment. And I believe you'll be blessed by the scripture she uses and what she shows in this passage. Let's watch this video together.
Well, hello, friends, and welcome to another episode of Real Truth Real Quick. I'm Todd, as we have relentlessly beat into you by now, and I get to introduce you to a great friend, and it's a great privilege to introduce you to my friend Joni Erickson Tada.
Good to be here.
Oh, gosh, Joni, what a privilege. And today we're going to answer a question that you are uniquely, through life experience, been, I guess, I'm sure, asked and been confronted with. And the question is simply this: if you had enough faith, will God always heal you from physical maladies and diseases, or just will he always heal you? Because I'm sure people have come up to you and said, Joni, let me pray for you. I've got the gift of healing.
Well, I tell you, there are many people who come up to me and they want to pray for my physical healing. And of course, I never say no. I always welcome prayers. If someone wants to pray for my legs to walk and my hands to work, I'm all for it. But I must tell you, Todd, as many times I've had people pray for me, and as many healing services as I've gone to, when I first got out of the hospital, I went to Faith Healers, a very famous one, Catherine Coleman, kind of the Benny Hinn of her day.
Yeah, that's she right. Was. That's a good way to say it.
And there we were in the wheelchair section, and the spotlight was on other parts of the auditorium where it was apparent that there were healings happening. And then the spotlight shifted, and more healings happening over there. And then the spotlight shifted again, and I'm thinking in the wheelchair section, hey, Holy Spirit, come over here where all the hard cases are.
Yeah.
Heal us. But not a one in that wheelchair section was healed. And that was faith healing service after faith healing service after faith healing service. And finally, I got to the point where I was thinking, Jesus, I know I've confessed so many sins. I know I've gone to elders. I've been anointed with oil. I've followed every scriptural injunction I can find. And yet you're not healing me. My fingers and my feet aren't getting the message. What is what gives? I know I'm doing everything from my end. What more can I do? And that's when I was driven to go deeper into God's word, to see exactly what Jesus has in mind when he talks about healing. And I found the answer in Mark chapter 1, the Gospel of Mark. There we see Jesus doing all kinds of healings from morning almost past sunset. And when the sun sets, he's tired, he goes away, the people move away. And early the next morning before dawn, the people start showing back up. Where's Jesus? We want more healings. But the disciples couldn't find him. They race to the top of the hill, and there he is. And Simon Peter says to him, Jesus, everybody's looking for you. All the diseased and the cancer-ridden down at the bottom of the hill. And Jesus says the most amazing thing to his disciples in Mark chapter 1, verse 38. He says, let's go somewhere else. Let's go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also, for this is why I have come. Wow. I read that and I realized Jesus is interested in physical healings, okay, but when people just came to him to get their physical problems fixed, the Savior would always back away because he is interested in a deeper healing.
Yep.
Not just physical healing.
Yeah.
Psalm 103 says he heals all our diseases, so you better believe that if you do get healed from a disease or a botched surgery or chronic pain or the flu or a bad cold, or if you get healed from cancer, you better believe God did it.
Yep.
But that is not saying quantitatively that he heals all everybody in the exact same way. Mm-hmm. We have a sovereign God who's interested in a deeper healing. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at the example of all the people he did heal, like those with withered hands and those with blind eyes. Jesus is the same man who also said, though, if that eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. If that hand I just healed causes you to be led astray, then lop it off, cut it off.
Well, I love what you're pointing out there in Mark chapter 1, because there's that amazing story when Jesus heals the man in John 5 who has been stricken for 38 years with paralysis, and he kept waiting for the angel to stir the waters, which was the tradition at the time, is what was happening. And Jesus basically said to him, take up your pallet and walk. The guy later finds Jesus, And Jesus says, do you believe in me? And the guy goes, well, you know, I mean, he's trying to figure out exactly what he means. Like, I did, that's why I took my pallet and walked. But he tells the guy that he better deal with who Jesus is as the Savior of the world, or something far worse will happen to him. And you're like, what could be worse than being 38 years, right? Now you're in 50, mm-hmm. okay, as a paralyzed man. The answer is being separated from God.
Absolutely.
Because he came to preach and deliver us from our sins.
Right.
So when people come up to you, though, sometimes they've got the gift of healing, and that means that they've healed people before. It can't be God's fault, and it can't be their fault. And so if they pray for you and you're not healed, they would say it's your fault because you don't have enough faith,
yeah.
right? And they how have you responded to that in the past when people have said, Johnny, you just need more faith?
Well, faith's focus is always the key. And faith's focus is Jesus Christ. I mean, look at that. If I have enough faith, will God heal me? Well, the Bible says all we really need is mustard seed-sized faith.
Yeah.
We don't even need great faith, just small faith. Mm-hmm. And if it's on Christ, then you rest it with him.
Wow.
I remember when I was out of the hospital and after I'd gone on all those faith healers and I didn't get healed, mm-hmm. I started to read in Psalms where it said, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I delighted myself in the Lord and I thought, well, of course, then he's going to give me the desire of my heart.
Yeah.
The desire of my heart is to walk, is to have use of my hands. But the more I grew to know Christ, mm-hmm. the deeper and more intimate I became with him, my desires began to shift. Suddenly, walking wasn't the priority anymore. It was, I have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. I want to know more of you, Jesus. Give me more of you, Jesus. I want to tell others about how good you are, how gracious you are. Give me the power to disciple as I should and evangelize as I should. Jesus, I want to. And what do you know? I was fulfilling Mark chapter 1, verse 38,
yeah.
where Jesus himself says, this is why I've come, to preach the gospel. And the preaching of the gospel became my priority.
Wow.
Physical healing and walking and having use of my hands began to shift down to number 4, 5, 12, 15, 25. Wherever it is right now, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
It's still on the list.
Well, here's what's amazing is I know a lot of people have said this about you. I've said there are people who have what the healing of your physical body would bring who don't have the peace that you have.
Yeah.
Right? And the desires of our heart is that we long for peace, we long for a sense of joy and purpose and meaning, and you have, and so the desires of our heart are ultimately for those things.
Absolutely.
And Jesus gives it. I love the way you respond to folks, though, when they say, can I pray for you? You say, absolutely, pray for my healing.
Right.
But then also pray for, and tell them some of the things you ask them to pray for as they
oh, yeah.
seek to heal you.
When people want to heal me, I always tell them, I said, yes, of course, I'd love to get out of this wheelchair. It would be wonderful, but may I please tell you some specifics on how you can pray?
Mm.
And they say, well, sure, what are they? And I said, well, pray that I will quit cherishing inflated ideas of my own importance. Please pray that I will quit keeping a record of other people's wrongs. Please pray that I will pop that hot balloon air of pride that often crops up. Please pray that I'll quit reading my own press releases. Please pray that I will quit being so anxious about my future and fearful. Please pray that, I mean, I list sin after rebellion after fear, after worry, after anxiety. And these are the things I need to be healed of. Because as you just said, at our deepest level, our deepest longings are for peace and joy. We want to be glad people. And we think that fingers that work or feet that walk or a back that no longer aches or heads that no longer give migraines, we think that being healed of those things will give us the peace and the joy, but not always so.
Yeah.
It is what God does in our hearts.
Wow. So how about this amazing thing? Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, these also will you do, and even greater works than these, if you believe in me, because I go to the Father. Okay, and so some people think, well, look at the great works Jesus did. He walked in water, he fed the 5,000, he raised Lazarus from the dead. So aren't we supposed to do this to be able to heal people? What would you say to that again?
Well, let's look at that verse again from Jesus' priorities. Remember the withered hand
uh-huh.
and the blind eye? Jesus says, pluck it out,
yep.
cut it off. What are his priorities?
Yep.
And I think we can attach those priorities there to that verse that you just mentioned. Because think about it. When Jesus went to the cross, here he had spent 3 years of his life wringing himself inside and out on behalf of people and gathered 12 around him who sort of half believed and they weren't really sure. Jesus gave it his all. And at the end of his life, what does he have? A handful of disciples who kind of sort of believe of him, but they're not really sure, and they scatter anyway when the going gets tough.
Hmm.
But what happens after the Holy Spirit comes? Peter preaches one sermon and thousands believe. Thousands come to Christ. Those are the greater works that Jesus is talking about.
Amen.
Those are the greater works. When the Holy Spirit grips our hearts, thousands will come.
Powerful word from Johnny Erickson Tada. And I am reminded as we close in this way that it is true, greater works, he says, we would do. And he does bring the Holy Spirit to our lives. And so now as believers, we are called to pray for healing for others, but it will be God who does it, not us. We are called to pray for the salvation of others. We are called to do the greater things because there's more of us in abundance, and that's a wonderful thing. But I would encourage us all to stop and realize, too, that we are not God. And so our desire is to pray in the will of God and to ask him to move, ask him to bring salvation, ask him to bring physical healing, ask him to bring emotional and spiritual healing, ask him to work. God can and does heal, but his ultimate goal is that you and I would be healed for all eternity spiritually, that he would have his own eternal glory through that. So what I want to encourage you to begin to do is to pray the prayer that never fails. And that is to pray the simple prayer that says, God, your will be done. Jesus taught us that. To pray for the needs, but pray, Father, ultimately, we want your will to be done. So today, as we kind of wrap things up, I want to first of all say that if you're here and you have been beating yourself up thinking, I just must not have enough faith because this answer is not coming the way I want it, please back up and realize that there is a God at work in your life. And that he may be working in and through this specific difficulty you're in the middle of. That may not be the answer you want to hear, but it can very well be true. If you're here and you want us to pray for your healing, listen, there are people in this church who will pray for your physical and emotional and spiritual healing. We would be glad to pray for you, to anoint you to pray for you, to meet you in the altar and pray for you. If you need prayer today, I'm calling you to come. Let us pray for you. But maybe for some, it's need to come and get on our knees for a moment and say, I need to reprioritize my prayer life. If I'm praying in Jesus' name, amen, and it's supposed to basically mean it's as if Jesus would pray these same things, I've got to learn to pray some things differently. So maybe you come and just repent and spend a moment asking God to teach you again how to pray. Maybe for some of us, it's we need to repent of anger toward God for unanswered prayer. Maybe for others, it's to commit to God's word so that we can have a better understanding of what he means and we don't take verses just out of context for what they mean. Whatever God is saying to you, maybe God's calling you tonight with this faith family. Well, if you're coming, I want you to know we are a praying church. We do believe in praying for one another, but we ultimately know it is God who brings the healing. It is God who brings victory. Maybe for you, God's calling you to come and say, I've made a decision for the Lord and I want to be baptized. Whatever God would say to you, would you respond today? Would you bow your heads with me? With our heads bowed for just a moment. In the privacy of this moment, what about you? In the privacy of this moment, what would God say to you? Maybe for you, you've been praying for a long time for a prodigal child. You've got a son or daughter. You've got a grandchild that's not walking with the Lord, and it seems as if your prayers don't get above the ceiling. Listen, I want to encourage you, continue to pray. Continue to be faithful in your prayers. Continue to pray for God's will to be done in their life and pray for God to reach them, for them to come to know him or for them to be drawn back to him. Maybe for you, you've got a circumstance or situation or you're in an emotional state or dealing with something physical and it has been a struggle and you're asking God to move in power and you've begged him to do so. Would you be willing to add to the end of that prayer? And it's not an easy thing to do, but would you be willing to add? But Father, ultimately, I want your will to be done and you to receive glory. So bring healing if you will. But even if, there's a lot of even if scriptures, even if he chooses not to do so, would you give him glory? Maybe for others, you simply need some prayer and you want to ask God to move. Maybe you want to unite with the church. Whatever God is doing, let's respond. Father God, in this moment, please have your way among us. Thank you for the truth of a wise woman who spoke some words there. Thank you for the truth of James chapter 5. Thank you for the truth of all these other scriptures that we've read. Father, there are some spouses in this room that are not getting their prayers answered because they're struggling with their spouse, and they need to repent. They need to understand that how we treat our spouse is part of our walk with you. There are some in here that have been on the receiving end of some negative stuff from a spouse, and they have grown into a root of bitterness or difficulty. And maybe for them, it's important just to take a moment to stop and say, Father, help me. Help me not to let this take over my mind. May I guard my heart, my mind, my soul in this way, and I want to honor you. Maybe for others, it's simply another aspect that we've not even mentioned today, but somehow you've spoken to them. I pray we will respond as you direct. Whatever you do, Father, please have your way. In Jesus' name, I do pray this. Amen. Let's stand together.